well. But I wanted to, first of all, welcome our people online as well and introduce our speaker. This is Dr. Gerardo Ruiz Mercado from EPA, and especially glad that Dr. Ruiz Mercado came from, drove in from Cincinnati to give this seminar in person. He is actually originally from Colombia and did his undergraduate work at the University of Atlanta, and then went to the University of Puerto Rico where he did his PhD. And there he was working on reactive distillation problems, simulation, and things like multiple steady states as well. And at EPA, he has been working on a very interesting project dealing with tools for sustainability assessment and design. And this is actually translated into a tool called GreenScope, which is actually has not only some far-reaching implications, but also has some interesting connections with industry, government, and academia. So I'm very pleased that you've come today and talk about the GreenScope project and the implications of that process design. So, Gerardo, it's all yours.
Thank you, Larry. Good morning, everyone. This is to me a pleasure being here and present part of my work that I'm doing with the United States Environmental Protection Agency as part of the Office of Research and Development and National Risk Management Research Laboratory and with Sustainable Technology Division in Cincinnati, Ohio. So the title of my talk today is GreenScope, a tool for chemical process sustainability assessment and design. This GreenScope is on a main contribution from three researchers, Dr. Michael Gonzalez, Dr. Ray Smith, and myself. So I'm, through the presentation, going to talk more about what is GreenScope, the foundation, sorry, like the reason they, what the needs that we saw on process design, chemical processes, on sustainability. The how you can quantify or the general approach about the quantification of sustainability for chemical processes. Now I will expand the description of GreenScope methodology that is involved and on the tool, the taxonomy that is the how you classify the sustainability indicators, and the data needs, what kind of data are required to calculate or evaluate these indicators. And then after the methodology part, I will show some nice results about the application of this tool in a case study that is a biodiesel production. Then I will mention about the tool. Right now we have one version that is on a, based on Microsoft Excel, and we are currently working on creating a Java standalone version. Then I will have a discussion about global sustainability assessment. Sustainability is a holistic approach, and this so, and the assessment has to be handled in that way too. I'm ending with some nice conclusion for this talk. So, general motivation. So we have some idea, or we recognize that there is a finite availability and accelerated deflation of ecological goods and services. So what is the role of the chemical industry on this approach? So from in one side, we see that the chemical industry is a fundamental business sector, or not just for the for this country, but for the entire global economy. And many of the chemical products are helping improve the quality of life of the society. And also in terms of economic benefits, 5% of the total U.S. nominal gross domestic product came from the chemical industry. And also, according to some statistics, it employs 800,000 people nationwide. And in terms of contribution to the advance of the technology and the knowledge, 11% of all U.S. patents per year are from the chemical industry. And 96% of all final goods are directly improved with any kind of chemical product at some part of the manufacturing. However, we see some challenge, some concerns, and because the chemical industry, for example, at the manufacturing level, exposure to workers to toxic and carcinogenic substances, also pollution of water, air emissions, solid waste, and then some chemical products, they have you have some positive impact. So we see some positive the benefits of using product, for example, agrochemical, right? The functionality, but we also see some side effects. When the disposal of that chemical product, so you see some examples of flame retardant substances, paint pigment. So they, on the disposal, they are also generating some pollution and risk to the health, to the environment. And in terms of energy consumption, 6% of the total fuel demand is chemical industry. Now, we would like to adapt the concept of sustainability for chemical processes. This is the slide number 4. This is oriented to generate guidelines to achieve quality of life improvement. This quality of life improvement has been achieved without affecting the availability of ecological goods and services. Also, this should be implemented for new and existing manufacturing processes. Okay, you have to start addressing and evaluating the environmental, social, and economic aspects that might affect it by the industry. First, you have to identify which system components are affected. For example, you have some waste that hasn't that are pollutant, or they are affecting the air, the land, the water. So now that you identify these components, you have to localize what part of the process or the design of your system are generating these components. After that, that you localize that, you have to redesign, modify these process aspects and also the product. For example, you can keep the property of the product, but also modify the side effects of that to that the product can meet the needs to be used, and also minimize or eliminate the negative impact in the use and also for the disposal, and demonstrate system improvement. After you implement some changes and modification, you need to see if you really can improve your system. Okay, in general, the idea of sustainability for chemical processes is minimize or eliminate the environmental impacts and maximize the social and economic benefits. So, now I'm going to talk a little bit about general approach and quantitative sustainability assessment. We see some nice foundations and talks and about green objective or green, when you have a more green system, green process, and green reactions. I think you see the green chemistry principle, the green chemistry green engineering principle. They talk about, okay, you have to avoid to use solvents, you have to use catalysts and minimize or eliminate the hazardous
pit stops and also eliminate pollution and waste by optimize the energy efficiency of your system. So this is nice, but these are some qualitative approaches. So you have to apply all of them. So, and what is the level of implementation for them? So can you get a win-win situation at the end? That means that you can, you know, get benefits in all these aspects. Like, okay, you avoid to use a solvent. And then you improve your energy consumption. You don't use hazardous material. This is a multi-objective function. And then how you solve your problem? You have to cross from a qualitative approach to a quantitative approach to really demonstrate and see the benefits or how you can use this approach. So within the school, we are proposing sustainability indicators. So you see, you can have a dimensional scale for each indicator. Now you can see numbers in terms of sustainability. How sustainable is your system? Now you can deal with these questions. If your system is, your process is sustainable, and how sustainable is it? Then also that have something that you have to consider the realistic limitations. Because ideally, it should be like, okay, no waste, right? Or you don't have negative impact to the environment. But in most of the cases, that is not possible. So you have to account that those aspects. Now when you get the sustainability indicator results, you can see trends, you know, the whole scope of your system, how your system performs in terms of sustainability. It's a clear visualization. You can identify process areas for improvement, key factors, using other design tools, sensitivity analysis, multi-criteria decision making, optimization tools, sensitivity analysis tools. Then you get an optimal grade. So this is what at the end you have to sacrifice some aspect, but you have to, and then you get benefits in other aspects. So the end, at the end should be generated a potential sustainable process. So this the slide number 6, you see in a diagram that symbolizing a chemical process, and then you also see some inputs of, you know, flow inputs to the system and also outputs, products, releases. And these inputs can be mass and energy from renewable resources, non-renewable resources, and also some important part is environmental and ecological processes. Because at the end, you know, who has to pay for all the sources that we need for the manufacturing of any valuable product? The nation. The nation also has to supply, make effort to dissipate and absorb the impact of the releases. So in this diagram, I would like to make an analogy with process control, process design. You collect data in this kind of transmitter, the sustainability transmitter. You collect data from the inputs, from the outputs, also specification from the process. All this data go to the main sustainability control. This sustainability control is generated by different process design tools. We have also the sustainability indicator evaluation, the computer simulation, modeling, optimization, and the other tools that I have mentioned before. Then you make decision, you propose improvement, changes to your system, and to also changes to the inputs, that, and then you have the sustainability control, and then also new modification to your process design, and it's expected that you can get some benefits, right? So when you're making those decisions, so you're wondering, like, are we doing relatively good or bad? So what are their point of reference to know that you're moving forward from more sustainable status or the opposite. Something that has to be keep in mind in slide number 7 is what is the high influence on the process performance during process design, and also the implementation cost. You see in this figure, there is the concept of phase is at the left of this figure. Then when you move to the right, you increase the complexity of the process design. Then when you see the lines, here is the influence on the process performance. It's a major influence at the beginning at the concept of phase, and a low implementation cost. And then those, when you move to the right, you have a different opposite behavior. So the idea here is that when you implement, when you take an account sustainability on your process design at the early design stage, that you will have a greater potential improvement on the sustainability of the process with the operation and with a minimum implementation cost. Okay, I mentioned at the beginning about the taxonomy of chemical process indicators. So this is slide number 8. As I mentioned before, sustainable development is a holistic definition, and then, but generally, you see like some kind of categorization on 3 kind of areas: economy, environment, and society, and also interconnection between each area. So that in the middle of the all these 3 areas intersect. Here is where is the sustainable development. So these 3 dimensions are the environment, society, economy. Most of these definitions is at corporate level. They generate some corporate level indicators. And there is also an assessment at corporate level. So, but what happens when you need to move, use corporate level, corporate scale, to a process, chemical process scale, or you can evaluate sustainability at that level. So, because that, we suggest to analyze the sustainability in 4 different areas: environmental, efficiency, economics, and energy. So, now I will talk about Green Scope 2. We have, as I mentioned before, that 4 areas of sustainability evaluation: environment, efficiency, energy, and economy. This tool, you see the tool is clear, practical, user-friendly approach. The indicators are well-defined. Also, the explanation of the indicator, the mathematical definition, how you calculate these indicators, how you interpret this indicator. You can apply sustainability at any stage of process design and also at any level of production. You are at an experimental scale, pilot plant scale. You can also implement this tool. We have 140 different indicators categorizing these 4 areas. The user can choose which indicators or metrics to calculate, because they are like, it's not necessary to calculate all of them, but ideally you should calculate all of them to have a whole picture of your performance. And then, because we recognize the heterogeneity of chemical processes, for example, when you compare pharmaceutical processes with petrochemical processes, you know, the limitation, right, the limitations and quality and all the aspects, you can't say, okay, this is the optimum for a petrochemical plant can't be the optimum for a pharmaceutical process. So you have to account for that. So then we propose a framework. This slide number 10. We identify and select 2 different state of references.
for each sustainability indicator. We have a best target that is like, where you want to achieve 100% of sustainability, and a worst case scenario that is 0% of sustainability. Based in these two boundary value, you can create a measurement scale. And then here we describe the results in percent from 0 to 100. So how do you implement Green Scope and evaluate the sustainability performance of your system? Slide number 11. You see Green Scope here. You see the flow of energy from feedstocks out, valuable product releases. And then you collect all of this data, also with equipment and operating conditions. To Green Scope, you need some external data. The kind of external data you need? Well, from classification wise, it can be from the EPA, or the European EPA, or other DOE, or other different agencies. And also, you have to collect some toxicological properties. That is very important, because how you can quantify the health risk, the environmental risk. So when you collect all the information, you get all the indicator results. So now we'll talk in the slide number 12 about environmental indicators. We propose 66 indicators. Yeah, some indicators are related to specifications, process input material. Also, other indicators are related to, or try to evaluate, to get an assessment on health and safety hazards related to operating conditions and operating on in case of fail. For example, you are working to a high pressure, high temperature condition. There are some indicators that can account that part. And also the impact of components utilized in the system and releases. So if you are using hazardous material, if your waste is hazardous, health risk, so all of these aspects are counted in some of the environmental indicators. And for the 100% of sustainability, that is the best target. The hypothetical case is when there is no releases of pollutants and no hazardous material used for generation. And for the worst case scenario, is when all inputs are classified as hazardous, and or all generate waste for each potential environmental health and safety hazard category is released out of the process without any treatment. Okay, this is in slide number 13. There is an example of one environmental indicator. This is the safety hazard fire explosion. So in this side, the left side, you can see the general definition of the indicator and also how you calculate the indicator, the algorithm. So the sustainability value, what is the definition for the best case scenario, for the worst case scenario, and also the data needs to calculate this indicator. So we do this for all of the 140 indicators. So that means that you can defend your result. You can see, okay, these are my limitations on my results. How I'm defining the sustainability for my case. Now for the efficiency indicator, slide number 14, 26 indicators. These indicators are related to the amount of materials and inputs required to generate the desired product. So how much of feedstocks are required to obtain a valuable product, and or also the amount of solvent, the amount of catalyst required on the process. Okay, also this indicator account mass transfer operation. Okay, for example, distillation, and we know that we understand that in some processes, the mass transfer operations have a high influence and the amount of energy demand. So when you have distillation on your system, it requires almost all the energy demand of the entire system.
equipment side, cost, raw material, releases, you know, impurities, your problem, waste. And some of the efficiency indicators connect material input output with the product, or as some state, or as some intermediate product or point in your system. So that means that you don't have to evaluate the required system. You can like go and evaluate just one specific area of your process or an equipment can be too. So this is an example of two efficiency indicators: actual atom economy and mass value intensity. So you see the definition, each of them, the point of reference for the scale, and also the data in each of them. Now, the economic indicator, we're proposing a slide 16. Thank you. So we are proposing 33 indicators. We understand and we recognize that any sustainable economic outcome must be achieved for any new process, technology, or modification that proposed for the commercial scale. If you don't get any economic benefits, you're not going to capture the attention of people. You can say, okay, my system now is no waste. Like, but you, it's expensive, and then you don't get any revenue, so no one is gonna do it. So there are some indicators that count the time value of money, also cost criteria, processing cost, raw material cost, waste treatment cost. This is another example for the one economic indicator, net present value. So most of these economic indicators are part of the conventional process design cost analysis. And finally, with energy indicators, there are 14 indicators in slide number 18. We try to account analyze the energy on different thermodynamic assessments. The energy, like the caloric value, now also the exergy, like the quality of that energy, that caloric value is available for transformation, and then the energy is kind of way to account how much of energy the nature requires to provide ecological goods and services. Because we know that when you analyze the system, the planet, the input of energy to the planet from the sun, sunlight. So this energy is the amount of the solar energy that was required to produce any end product we're using right now. So zero energy consumption per unit of product is the best target, right? You optimize, increase the amount of product, and then minimize the energy consumption, like increasing the production. In case for the worst case scenario, we don't have a predefined value. Why? Because, well, there is no limit to design a most inefficient system. But what we did was to look on some corporate reports, like 20, 50 different reports on chemical industry, and we took those values of energy consumption as a worst case scenario. But you can modify them. This is another example, the energy indicator, the exergy intensity, slide number 19. And the definition, when you calculate it, the way to, because in this case we need to calculate the entropy, so this is the point of reference to calculate the entropy, also the sustainability scale, this indicator. Now, slide number 20. So, as you see, we need a lot of data. Calculate this indicator. So where you can find this data, or you can find some of the data from the process, mass energy flow, operating condition, toxicity data, thermodynamic data, cost. We can use some other tools for data source alternative in case we have some data gaps. simulator, process simulator, physicochemical database, models, toxicological database, QSAR models. These QSAR models are models to predict health impact, environmental impact, risk, database, classification list. So we have we develop a mapping of data needs that are required for each individual indicator. So in case you think, okay, I want to calculate this indicator, okay, this is the data, and where you can find the data. This is an example for the efficiency indicator, also for the economic indicator. Because, you know, as the chemical engineering, process engineering, this is part of the slide number 23. We are not familiarized with the kind of toxicological data and right, health risk, environmental risk. So where you can find the data? Well, here is on a list of different data sources. Most of them are free. You can collect different properties for different kind of data. So I will talk now, slide number 24, about the case study. I've been implementing the GridScope 2 on the manufacturing biodiesel. So this diagram you see here, the input of energy, feedstocks, product releases to the biodiesel process. You collected some data in that process, and also you have some external data, and maybe you are trying with a different technology. You are running some experiments lab, and also you have some data gaps. You are running some simulation work that you can collect data from simulator. So you get the GridScope. That data goes to the GridScope. You get all the indicator results. Now, are you satisfied with the performance of your system? Yes or no? Yes. Well, you have a potential sustainable process according to your goal. If this is not the case, now you have to go to process design, right? Implement the design tools, decision making, experimental work, process modeling, process optimization. Because if you want to implement a new technology, you need to go and make sure that it works, and also that new technology is really better than the previous one. And then you have many tools. The point here is like, this is the kind of new process design, because we have been working on, you know, cost optimization, right? And also some of the researchers, when I see some of the waste movement, minimize the waste. But here the point is how you can avoid that, how you can implement this kind of approach at the design level. Okay, this is the description of the case study. I'm running a simulation on 10 cat. This is the specification. Slide number 25. So I use soybean oil as feedstock. It's 95% of oil conversion. The production rate is 1 ton of biodiesel per hour. So we have solid, liquid, and air releases, utilities, steam, electricity, cooling water. So this is the result for the environmental indicators. You see here, there are 66 indicators. In the middle of this circle, 0% of sustainability. The external border, 100% of sustainability. So you see here, the values. We can easily visualize hotspots, areas for improvement. Forming areas of the process where you see weaknesses. This, for example, this indicator, these indicators are related to the solid waste, it's to the liquid phase waste here. So now, and then as you write, you see some of the indicators for this indicator and some of the results. So now for the efficiency ones. So
slide number 27. So you see also some patterns, trends, you see areas that need improvement. So this is easy to see that. So then you can go to, okay, which indicator is representing. So you can track back and say, okay, I found the data, I collect the data, calculate this indicator for this process area, or this process, or this equipment. So you can track back and see, you know, the reason that you have this sustainability performance. Now, in the slide number 28, you see the result for the energy indicators. So this is some areas. Here, in this case, is for the recycling, the amount of potential energy that can be used from the waste. And you see some values, particular values of some of the indicators. Slide number 29 is for the economic indicator results. In this case, it's the areas of improvement. Nice part here that because the diversity of this indicator, you can track, as I mentioned before, where you can implement some modifications and get some benefits here. In this particular case study, the weaknesses of the biodiesel is the cost of the raw material compared to the cost of the product. It's the main difference. So this is because you see here is the raw material cost. So now, I'm going to talk about, and this is a screenshot of the slide number 30, the GreenScope Microsoft Excel version. You see in a column the indicator, symbol, the definition of each indicator, equation, how you calculate this indicator, value, absolute value, the data inputs, and the assumption of the best and worst case scenario for each indicator, and the results. We use a color code. That color code is related, is the depends of the number. It's not the opposite. When you see some of the sustainability assessment, and you see some color that some kind of arbitrary scale, you know what it means. It's better or not. It's blue, green, or red. Here you can see what is the significance. Now, okay, slide number 31. This is standalone. We are working currently in the development of this tool. We have Dr. Strajeev Kherka, who's working with us to develop this tool in Java language. And it's based on the Excel version. The idea here is that we are going to build this tool that could be a package, sustainability evaluation. And they can be compatible with process simulation, with optimization tools, with sensitivity analysis tools, with uncertainty tools, and also for multi-criteria decision-making tools. Because that is the goal. The goal is that you can provide to the user many tools to build that a more sustainable process. So this is an example, slide number 32. So how the standalone looks. So these are lists of the slide number 33 of the efficiency indicator from the standalone version. Now, finally, I will talk a little bit about the global sustainability assessment. This is this diagram, the slide number 34. This is a representation, a simplistic representation of the life cycle of the system. You see different stages, the life cycle, natural resources, raw materials, process, product use and disposal. You see there are some sentences like but you can implement these aspects and improve individual stages of this life cycle. But the point is they're interconnected. When you improve this stage, here you see local improvement, but it's not when you analyze the whole system global. You know, global. It's like global solutions, local solutions. It's the same. But the nice part here is that because we have a direct influence on the process level, and the process and the product are the key stage on the life cycle. What you can do is implement some changes, improvement in these two stages. that they, you have to make sure that this kind of improvement is a contribute to get a global improvement of the life cycle of system. Because sometimes, suppose that you have a process, particular process, you have a reaction that is a heterogeneous liquid phase reaction, and then you say, no, let me try it with a different heterogeneous catalyst, right? And you say, wow, wonderful. Now I don't need distillation. I don't have to deal with problems with you know, liquids. Then, okay, my yield now is 95%, before was 50%. But what happened with that catalyst? The problem with that catalyst is that to produce that catalyst here, raw material, must generate more negative impact to the environment than the previous one, what you were doing before. This is something that you have to overcome. And there are other tools. It's slide number 35. So you want to evaluate, again, a slow and sustainable assessment, you can use different tools. In the case you want to evaluate that manufacturing level, we have five different levels, right? Manufacturing level, supply chain and product life cycle indicators, and also system ecological services and sustainable system indicators. We have the Green Scope 2 life cycle assessment and eco life cycle assessment. So what we are also working with the with Green Scope, that we can connect Green Scope with these other tools. Because some of these life cycle data, their general data, you know, standard data, databases, but it's not, these data probably are not really reflecting your system. Point is that, okay, you have separated the data from your process, you know that this is related, is from your process, not from other average and so on. Point that you can keep that independently, but using some standard point of reference, you can make modifications and see that your changes at the process level will have positive effects beyond the gate. So, finally, the slide number 36, the conclusion for this presentation. I have described the performance indicator for designing sustainable chemical processes, as I mentioned, at any level, provide direction to the designer. You can now see, okay, I'm moving to the 100% sustainability, improving my system, or the opposite. It can be applied to the system as well as a new processes. And one of the aspects that we are working currently on that is that we will have some approximation for the scalability of sustainability. We can measure sustainability at, for example, lab scale. You get some nice result at lab. You know, okay, well, look, my mass intensity right now, I'm just using 1 kilogram of raw material, and then I get 1 kilogram of product. That's fantastic. But what happens when you move that result from that new technology to a production scale? Probably it's not the same. So this is also an important part of the work we're working on. So conclusion, the Green Scope can be used as a reliable and robust tool for the development of chemical processes. And disclaimer, you know, this presentation is my point of view, you know, necessary according to the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and some reference that you can go and find more, you know, in detail what I was talking in this presentation. Thank you very much for your attention, and any questions?
Thank you very much for the seminar. This was very enlightening, and really, really appreciate the fact that you came down to share with us your experience about this very interesting project. Perhaps what we could do is, if we could start with questions from those on the phone. Hello? Any questions out there? Well, if not, maybe...
Hi.
Oh, yes, go ahead.
I was wondering, how would you go about accessing this tool? Is it available?
Okay, well, currently we have the Excel version for internal use between the agency, because we have to go through different process of quality assurance and, you know, make sure that everything is right. But we are expecting to release a version available on the internet at the end of October. And also the Java version that we are currently working on will be the same. It will be, you know, free use, and you can download the you can download the application from the EPA website.
So this will be about October.
Yeah, yeah. For the Excel.
For the Excel.
Yeah, for the standalone. The Java will be maybe in the middle of this.
Okay, but they're essentially the same in terms of what they do.
Yeah, just like. Just like the Excel version, we have some kind of limitation.
Okay.
So, you know, unfortunately, you have to build that some kind of formulas and routines in Excel with limitation of amount of compounds and strings. But that will be different than with the standalone version, that you can handle like unlimited, you know, like thousands of strings, thousands of compounds. And also, you will have some connection to online databases. And also, you can attach this evaluation with other tools that you already have on your process design department.
Okay, and so the Java version is to expect the middle of next year?
Yes.
Good. Other questions? Yes, well, Chief, please.
Okay, so you mentioned data front. So I guess there are a lot of lifecycle assessment databases that give you those coefficients and characterization factors.
Mm-hmm.
IPCC and so on. So are these data input for your framework, or does your framework come up with some of those factors?
Well, that's important aspect that you have to consider. What I see, what I visualize in the sustainability assessment is that you can make modifications, you know, changes in your system. You use your data from your process, like local data. And then you also get external data from like properties, right? But that kind of assessment, life cycle assessment, can be the part of the what happened with the feedstocks that you use, right? You can evaluate the indicator 99, or the equal indicator 99, to get an assessment and evaluate the life cycle of your raw material when the raw material is at the input of your system. Right? You get the value. And also, if you have the data to what happened to the product after the production, and also to the waste, you can, you know, account that part, and then. Okay, this is my state of reference for my life cycle, right? Assuming that you have the impact categorization for this different, you know, like global warming, CCD, aquatic impact. And then you make modifications on your manufacturing level, right? You get the result, and then you add, then you reevaluate the life cycle assessment using now the new parameters. And then you can see if those local benefits for your system are reflected on the entire life cycle. So the idea is that you will mix kind of standard average data with what you have for your process. There are some indicators that that can reflect like they can more than audit.
Right.
This is an important part also. You mentioned about aggregation, right? With that, we want to provide the tool to do for aggregation, normalization. It's your decision, not my decision. Because for your process, probably that is important, the energy consumption, right? Now I want to minimize the energy consumption of the system. And this is what I want. So I can provide you the tool. Okay, you want to do that? This is an multi-criteria decision making, sensitivity analysis tool. Based on your system, right? I don't want to force you to use this kind of aggregation. So, you know, for any kind of process, this is the aggregation. It's 0.2 for this indicator, 0.3 for this indicator. You know, that's your decision. And for now, we don't have any decision making tools out. So, but there are some available other places to introduce. So, that's
something to think about the future.
Okay, the future. We want to. Currently, we are in partnership with our industry to apply BlueScope. So we have now challenge consideration. And the reality is difficult. Not the same like when you have a process in assembly. And then you get the data easily, right? Oh, let me change the pressure here and see what's going on. Right? You know that. Or they see, okay, this is the amount of inputs, and this is the pressure here, this is the amount of energy demand or steam demand in this distillation tower. But in this industry, you have many kind of connections, and then you have the data just for the entire manufacturing, for the facility. You need to localize, okay, I need the value but for this part of the process. So this kind of things we are dealing right now. And we also have all the collaborators to work on how we can develop the design for sustainability application. And we can move this to other aspects like kind of shortcut method that you can predict the sustainability of the system, as I was mentioned, on lab scale. You're doing some work at lab, then you can have some kind of extrapolation and see, okay, these results are nice, but what happened when I moved to the pilot plant and to the production scale? The results are also can be achieved at scale. That's another. Also, in the aggregation and normalization, how to combine data and results from multi-criteria decision making. That is also another important part of what we are looking for. And also the optimization for design. Now that you have the evaluation, how you can add this consideration to a multi-objective function, right? That is something that we are looking for. We are looking for also partnerships. We can work on how we recognize that we don't have the time, we don't have the resources to cover everything here. And other researchers, for example, here in Carnegie Mellon University, Chemical Engineering Department, Professor Wigler and Professor Grossman, and Professor Eric, they are on the top of the process optimization, so, joint effort, working optimization for sustainability.
Do you have a sense for how accurate these are? So how much can you trust the indicators you calculate, and how would you go about dealing with this?
That's another aspect that we are looking at uncertainty analysis. These are the key aspects. Key aspect in agriculture, the uncertainty. Just not the kind of the value that you get, the data. Also the models. There are many different guidelines. It's like, I was reading a paper about uncertainty and like even 20 different kinds of uncertainty. And even there are some uncertainty we can't measure. So yeah, that's yeah, we are also looking for developing uncertainty analysis also as well. I do the sustainability assessment.
Any other questions? If not, let's thank our speaker again. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Okay, this concludes the talk, and we'll have this archived and online under the ESI series.
Thanks.